Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Somebody needs to mute. Okay, we welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 17th, and our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Once again, it's exciting and delightful to get the chance to share with you the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness, as together we learn and teach how to change the content of this device that we call the body-mind unit, this device which is in fact a multi-generational database that contains everything from every generation in our bloodline. And without the knowledge that that's what tends to run our lives, a lot of times we, you know, wonder, what's going on? Why am I saying things like this? Why am I doing this? What's happening here? And in the ancient Aramaic language, the word forgive is a tool that empowers you to address those things that you say, I want to be finished with this. I'm ready to never do this again. I'm ready to change my mind. But when my mind comes forward, it seems like it has so much power and so much control over me that I just don't have the ability to change it. Well, in the ancient Aramaic, there was a tool. The tool was called forgiveness. And all you have to do is be willing to love truth enough to question every lie in your mind. And there's a really easy way to tell whether your mind's lying to you. Is there hostility or fear involved in it? Now be careful, because if you go into denial, that denial will hide your hostility or fear and say, oh, there's none here. But if you just watch your words, you'll be able to tell what's really going on at the deeper levels of the mind. And so the forgiveness process is the process of going inside yourself and removing what never belonged. There are those who sit in their heads. You know, we've been taught in this culture to become addicted to our intellects. And we've been taught to live in our heads, and that our head has all the answers and our head can figure it out. And if we stay in our heads, we don't have to get into that messy stuff of cleaning up your life. I can get it all cleaned up just by figuring it out and staying in my head. I don't want to feel what's in there. I don't want to deal with what's in there. Well, you know, in the ancient Aramaic, they had a saying, and the saying was, everything will be made known in the light of day. It's going to show up. Everything that's inside of your structure is going to show up. It will either show up as your physiology, that is, if it's a disordered state of mind, it will show up as a disease in your physiology. It will show up as a disordered relationship or financial situation or event in your life. And as you recognize that, the feedback that comes tells you there's work to be done. The willingness to step in and do that work is of paramount importance. The willingness to say, I'm going to handle everything in my mind everything that surfaces in the way of feelings and thoughts, and I'm going to work through it, and I'm going to be responsible for it as opposed to talk about and blame everybody else. The game of what we call the non-being mind is to want to talk about everybody else when someone's in pain. Someone says a word that triggers something in you, and you go into a diatribe about them rather than addressing what's been said to you. It's an avoidance technique. It's a diversion. And the non-being mind is a master at diversion. And when you recognize that, then you start to say to yourself, aha, I have work to do. I think I'll go inside myself and clean up what never belonged. The cleanup tool is called forgiveness. Forgiveness has nothing to do with I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. Forgiveness is the tool with which I go inside myself and change the content of my own mind. Remove what never belonged. If you'd like to access that technology, it's on our website free. You can go to www.whyagain.org, and you can check out our website. If you look in the upper left-hand corner of that website, you'll see a link that says Start Here. That link will open a whole series of links and an explanation on how to do the worksheet process, how to forgive. There's a bullseye in the middle of the page that'll also take you to the same place. So there's a starting point for the process of forgiveness. And the idea of our radio show is to be here to create support for those who are willing to love truth enough to question everything based in hostility or fear and to return to the truth about who we are as human beings. And our definition of a human being is simple. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human being is. If you're not living as one of those, then there's work to be done. That active presence of love that you experience when you hold a newborn is designed to be the energy that runs your physiology. One of the questions I'll oftentimes kind of tongue-in-cheek ask in a workshop is, does anybody here have a device in your home or your car or your boat or your shop or your office that runs really well when you unplug it from its power supply? I've had some interesting responses from people to that question. They say, yeah, well, I've got a gun and it's not plugged in anything. Yeah, but if you take out the power supply, the powder in the bullet, gun's not going to do much. Well, I've got my cell phone. I don't have to have that plugged in. It's like, well, yeah, but you got a power supply. You got a battery. If it doesn't have the proper battery, it's not going to work. No device works unplugged from its proper power supply. Guess what? The power supply for your device is that active presence of love. If you're not experiencing that, guess who gave it away? Guess who gave it up? Now, your mind will tell you all kinds of lies and show you pictures about how everybody else is doing it to you. The only one who can unplug from the power supply that we are all designed to live keyed into. And, you know, in the ancient scriptures, they said, there come a time when the whole world will be fooled, and it has been fooled. That rage and war and hatred and vengeance are the way to get things straightened out. Fear will really serve you well. All of those things are a fraud and a lie. So we're here to support the restoration of human life, the active presence of love, and we're delighted that you're here to share this time with us. Our calling number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, call in, push 1. That will raise your hand in the control panel. Jeannie will say, let me know that you're on, and we'll have a conversation with you. You can also, of course, listen on whyagain.org. There's a link there to the chat room. And if you're in the chat room but you're a guest, you'll notice that you're not able to type in the chat room, unfortunately. I don't know why they set it up that way, but it's kind of out of our control. But it is a pretty simple procedure to just register on Blog Talk. You know, you just give them a minimal amount of information. They're pretty private with it. And they'll send you a link, and then you click that link to verify that it's that's who you are, and you'll be able to chat with us through the chat room. Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
We do have Dr. Tim with us. We missed you yesterday, Dr. Tim. Oh, a worksheet on missing. We're glad you're back.
Thank you. Thank you. I got tied up in a business meeting that was supposed to be over well in advance of the show, but I'm glad to be here. It's a delight to be able to share this time with you and to get reminded about the work we're all doing.
It's delightful, sir, and I know how those business meetings can go. Do you have anything on your mind today, anything to share with us?
Well, we have the support group coming up tonight, and I've heard several different things from several different people about the impact of the last few support groups. So I suppose the sharing for today would be just a strong recommendation to either start or attend a support group. And just, even if you can't bring yourself to do the worksheet or use any of these tools for yourself, surround yourself with people who are, and just watch. It's the best motivation I know to do your own work, is to see other people's lives moving toward health and wholeness and love. And so that's my sharing for today. I've gotten several wonderful comments about the last couple of groups and shifts people have gone through, and new disturbing memories that have opened up that they've since gotten resolution to. And so it's just a wonderful process, and I'm glad to be able to share it with people.
Awesome, and we missed your pattern identification yesterday. Any patterns you've been seeing yesterday or today in your practice?
Well, the one from this morning is hiding from my knowledge of myself. So I remember things, and I judge them as negative, and so I hide them from myself, and I have the pattern of distracting myself and running away from my memories because I've locked them in there with a judgment that says these are bad and they make me bad. And the pattern that I'm trying to help people focus on is to tap into what you just said in the introduction, which is that you were made in the image and likeness of the Creator, and your true nature, your true source, is that energy of love, and that can't ever be corrupted. It can't be tarnished or dented or rusted or damaged in any way, but I can get distracted from it. I can focus my conscious awareness on other things and false judgments against myself and then come to believe that that isn't the truth. But that would be the pattern for today.
I love the movie Catch Me If You Can. It's a great set of lessons on distraction and how far it's based on a true story, how far this young man is able to get in the world using distraction in order to defraud. And this is a guy who now actually works for the FBI in helping them to detect fraud. He was such an expert at it, and I believe he was 17 when he started to do this, and by the time he was 19 and was caught, had built airlines and banks of millions of dollars. He had successfully played out being an attorney and actually in practice a medical doctor and a pilot, and he did it all with distraction. So it's a pretty interesting film and pretty powerful thing when you recognize, a lot of people think they can multitask. There's a kind of a cool set of videos available from the History Channel called Brain Games, and they take a man who's known in his community as a businessman, and he's known to be a good multitasker, and they actually put him to the test. They actually, they show the video of him, and they give him a couple of tasks to do while he's driving, and all of a sudden, of course, he's all over the road, and he can't multitask at all. Some people are good serial taskers. They can switch quickly from one to another, but this 9-bit mind doesn't multitask. It just isn't capable of it. And when it's put to a rigorous test, it fails. And so if we are locked into the strongest stimulus around us, then that strong stimulus is what will take over the 9-bit mind. And once that's taken over, everything else is blocked out.
And certainly, you know, somebody who goes for that fifth of scotch or the, you know, the ice cream cone or the soda or the coffee, whatever it is that they use to keep themselves shut down, it weakens the ability to perceive and to really truly be awake and aware as we're designed to be. So that's a good point to make. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Do we have any callers so far today?
Well, let's check in with Jeannie.
We actually have somebody with their hand up, and it's another 815 area code. That's not Tim. So 815-404, you're on the air. Who do we have?
My name is Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Hi, everybody. Coincidentally, this is actually my first blog talk with you guys, and I actually attend the Mind Shifters in Woodstock with Dr. Tim. How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's
awesome. Glad to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't find anything to ever be coincidental anymore. There seems to be a certain reason and path for everything. And I'm really struggling with trying to get life on track. And religion has never been a strong suit for me, but ever since I've sat in on some of the Mind Shifter videos of yours, Dr. Rice, I've really been intrigued, and it makes sense to me. Everything that you talk about and how you talk about it, and I'm full of a lot of love in my heart for people in life, and all I want to do is build on it as much as I possibly can, but also do it in a way that you do it, which is educate people about it. And I want to make this my life, but I'm caught up in the everyday world of having to work two jobs and barely sleep. And I've listened to your session when you talked about having three companies and your transitions, and now this is your life. And I want to do that. I just don't know where to start with it.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you've already started. You've made a choice to move in a different direction. I don't know if you've tapped into the workshop yet in the series. You know, when you've been going to the support group, if they've shown the video on purpose, personal power, and commitment. But you might want to get a hold of that video, and the next step would be just getting really crystal clear on your purpose. And that exercise is a pretty intuitive one. The worksheet is on the website under that link that is brought up by the Bullseye. And it's called Purpose, Personal Power, Commitment Worksheet. And so you might want to just jump in and do that particular worksheet. And if you haven't seen the video, maybe you could make a request of Dr. Tim to bring it up on the series. I'm not sure exactly how that's the cycle runs, or you could go to the website and order it and get really crisp on your purpose. And then once you are, then you start to do everything that is on purpose, which means that you'll probably drop off some of the things that you like to do that don't serve your purpose, things that are a distraction you'll start letting go of, and that will give you more energy to move in the direction of your true purpose. You know, one of the things I point out in that particular workshop on purpose, personal power, and commitment is that energy systems, which is what we are, don't bring through more energy by efforting. They bring through more energy by aligning. And, of course, you can't align with something you're not conscious of. And in that workshop, we cover the primary and secondary purpose of the human being. And so that would be another starting point. You might want to look at the teacher's training that's happening next summer. Get registered for that, which would give you a full set of 15 DVDs that you can start to work with very intensely. And I'm sure that Dr. Tim would be open to supporting you and perhaps presenting, pieces of what's coming up, and supporting part of the support group, and maybe even support you in getting started with a second support group that you facilitate. So there are lots of things you can do to move in that direction. Of course, being on the show every day helps build the brain cells. It's a process. If you go back to Yeshua, he says that his teaching is only for those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. I think we can fairly safely assume that everybody in his audience, or most everybody, had what we call physical eyes and ears. So he wasn't talking about that. What he was really saying is those who had the brain cells. So now it's a process of building the brain cells and then making choices that take you in the direction of the expression of what it is you want to do in the world. And we'll support you in every way that we possibly can.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I generally believe that I have a purpose to help people and to guide people into a much better world of love, which is what the main focus is. And I just see so many people around us every day that are just caught up in the everyday grind of just, making money and doing things and just doing it over and over in the normal routine. And I want to do everything I can. My biggest problem, though, is, like I said, I've got two jobs. I'm caught up in that. And, obviously I've still got, I've got two little girls and a wife that I've got to support, too. And, that's my biggest barrier is trying to get over that. Do you think that by following this pattern of what you set out, I'll be able to continue providing for my family and do what my purpose is?
Absolutely. Certainly. And, there might be a time period where you maintain a job to create cash flow as you're building into, if what you want to do is teach and take the tools to people, then, it might be a transition as you... you may start out small, you'll work through a lot of issues, and as you do, what you'll be teaching will grow and remunerate you in better and better ways until you get to the point where you can support yourself fully in teaching and bringing into the world. It sounds like your intuitive set is toward exactly what we're doing here, and the whole idea here is to restore human life to the planet, and human life is this awesome presence of love. And, there are two aspects to be handled, the inner part of the inner work, what parts of you lose contact with human life and the abundance that naturally comes with it. So that would be your inner work. And then the external is how do you step forward in the world to teach? And, you're fortunate that you have a young man there who is doing it very successfully in the world. And is there to support you and help to mentor you and to learn to move forward in it. And, of course, on the radio show, we're available 5 days a week to have a conversation about any wrinkles that come up, any challenges that come up. We're looking at, we might do, and it's still a question mark, a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive in Florida in December. And if you were thinking that you really want to teach this work and you wanted to do teacher training, the teacher's training is actually a 17-day workshop, and the prerequisite to that is a 9-day Why. So the first, if somebody does the teacher's training in our summer program, the first 9 days is a regular 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, and then the second 9 days is the teacher training. So another possibility, if you if you have the space and if you're in a position to, might be to do that 9-day Why in December, and that would ground you on another level in the tools and the work, and then plan on teacher's training next summer. But any way we can support you moving forward, we're happy to do it. Our commitment is every mind, heart, and being on the planet, and there are a lot of those minds, hearts, and beings that aren't going to have any interest in hearing what I have to say. But when they hear you say it in your own unique way, they're going to click right in and hear it and loud and clear move for it. So, it's going to take all kinds of different people who choose to bring it forward into the world, and we're here to support that.
That's awesome. And you're right, I come in contact with a lot of people every day with my job right now, which is talking to people on the phone, and the subject of God comes up, and I'll embrace that. I'll talk to him about it, and as I do, I find that, you know, what you've taught and what I've learned, it does make sense to a lot of people, and a lot of people do have a lot of confusion about it. You know, they look at a lot of things and they don't quite understand it, and it doesn't quite make much sense because it's all kind of been lost in transition over the years. And, you know, so it, you're right. You know, my perspective and putting it out there is a little different than yours, and it can make more sense to other people. And I know that you clicked with me, but, yeah, I may click different with other people. So
exactly.
I'm looking forward to really doing this, and I really want to make this my life. And I want to confide in you, Dr. Tim, and being able to do this. I've given this a lot of thought, and I really, really believe this is my calling.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, the other thing you can start doing, and you can do this like today, is to sit with people and introduce them to the worksheet process and walk them through the worksheet. You know, it's a really simple process. And when we talk about confusion in this work, there is mass confusion in people's minds, and they think it's about this work. The truth is, that's all a projection. The mass confusion is just the state of the average person's mind. In fact, I've actually considered, you know, petitioning the government to form a 51st state, because it's a state most people live in, the state of confusion. And the reason for that is because of the way the mind works, and that when untrue information, when fraud is put into the mind and then truth shows up, those energies try to combine, and they don't combine well, so they create literally a frequency that we call confusion. And as one does their work, the layers of lies they've been taught, if they're willing to love truth enough to look at those lies, will bring up that confusion. Now, the average person is in denial. They don't want to own anything other than perfection in themselves. So when they say, when they talk about their confusion, what they talk about it is as though something, you know, well, that worksheet's really confusing. Oh, you know, that communication tool, that's too confusing. Well, you know, that codependence worksheet, that's too hard. And they're all realities within the mind that people are denying and dissociating from their confusion and their thoughts about things being too hard. And as people do their work, they'll move through the confusion and have the opportunity to wake up on another level to who they are and how we're designed to function. And, of course, we're designed to function as the active presence of love. Just take one person at a time and sit them down. Work with your children. You know, there's a children's worksheet on the website. Work with your children with the forgiveness process and get them to the point where they are being brought up with the clarity of who they are as human beings, as love, and that if there's anything unlike love within them, you know, if a situation occurs that brings something less than love, then they watch Dad as situations in him come up that are less than love, and he communicates responsibly, and he cleans it up, and he forgives. And they go, Dad, how does that work? And you sit with them and do worksheets and, you know, introduce your spouse to it if she has an interest in it, and the people around you. And that's a powerful way to begin to really do the work and to build the understanding of how this whole energy system called life works and how to clean up the parts of it that really don't work.
Wow, yeah, that's a great, great point. And yeah, I definitely will work with my kids. I've got a 10-year-old that, you know, I just keep telling her to breathe, you know. She's, you know, gets very upset very easily and frustrated, and, you know, I just told her.
Have you sat down with worksheets yet?
No, and that's a good idea to do that. I definitely will do that. I'll find them. I know where they are on your site, and I will definitely print them out. And I think this will make it easier to talk to her about it and allow for her to maybe understand it even more to herself.
Absolutely. We're just getting ready to send the Healing Children, Loving Children book off to the printer. Julie Haversick is a school teacher from, actually she was an inner city school teacher in Dayton, Ohio, who's worked with this work for about the last 25 years, and she has written a book for children from, you know, four-year-old up to teenagers. And so that book should be probably back in print within the next couple of weeks. And if you want to order a copy of that as soon as it's ready, we'll send it to you. And, you know, it's at a level she can understand and relate to. There are a lot of tools in there for kids. And there's a powerful place to start to really work with becoming a teacher of the work, is teaching it within your own family. Because what will happen is every resistance, every block that you've got is going to be shown to you in spades when you start teaching it within your own family. And so it's an awesome place to learn, an awesome place to teach, and get a deeper level of understanding of the principles. And that's what will empower you to teach. You know, for years, people asked me if I would do teacher training. And it was one fellow was actually a chiropractor who came to me one day, and he had been running a support group for some time. And he's, Michael, I want to teach this work, but I just feel like I really need that stamp of approval. I really need that teacher training. So I went ahead and I set up teacher training the next year, and he never came to it, interestingly enough, but he did get the process started. But the focus of the teacher training, of course, part of it's building the brain cells, but the biggest part of it is supporting people in doing their work. What really qualifies people to teach this work is not that they can say all the words, it's that they've done their work. And it's not about anything other than bringing in your own unique expression to the principles and then sourcing it in your own unique way. It always amazes me how the innate intelligence of each individual takes these tools, takes this understanding, and brings it into the world in ways that I could never do it. It's pretty awesome.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's great. This is exactly what I was hoping to get out of this conversation today. I really appreciate your input, and I definitely will be keeping in touch with you and let you know how things go. Dr. Tim, won't be seeing you tonight, unfortunately. I've got to work my second job, but I do plan on being there next week, seeing you and the rest of the group. I do miss coming in there.
Well, we look forward to having you whenever you can make it. And I just want to echo everything that Dr. Rice just said. And one of the most important things is that you're doing your own work and that you do, I strongly recommend you do that purpose, personal power, and commitment exercise, because that will help you get where you're going far faster than most anything else.
I've got it written down right here.
Awesome. And drop me an email with your contact information, and we'll look forward to watching things progress in your world and you becoming part of the team that delivers forgiveness to every mind, heart, and being on the planet.
All right, I'll definitely do that. Should I just look for the link through your website?
Yeah, you can do that. Or my email is mjr, as in Michael James Rice, @whyagain.com. Our official site is whyagain.org, but my email address is still at our old site. We still actually have both sites in operation. We just don't update the whyagain.com anymore, but drop me a note.
Absolutely, will do. Thank you very much, and everybody have a
blessing. You too. Take care, Papa. I love it when human life shows up, and the fact that it's showing up more and more often all over the globe is pretty awesome. We had several things that were cooking in Europe, and all of a sudden, several of them just collapsed. We're actually at this point going over to do a documentary with the magazine in Sweden, and at this point, nothing is really confirmed for any of the rest of the venues we've been working on. In fact, one of them that we were just finalizing dropped out this morning, and yesterday, and as I sent them an email, Just about the same minute that that email left my inbox or my outbox, another email came in from a medical doctor from Denmark who is in Brazil and was introduced in Brazil to the work and is asking while we're there if we can make it to Denmark. So we just opened a conversation to see what might unfold in Denmark. So it's kind of just interesting, exciting to see how it all rearranges itself.
You'll once in a while you'll stop back here in America, won't you?
Once in a while we'll do that, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll actually be gone for about 6 weeks and then we'll be back. And you know, it's been what, 2 years, Jeannie? 2 years or 3 years since we've been to Europe. So then it was about 4 years before that. So we don't go very often. However, I'd be happy to go more often if the population there is ready for it. It was kind of interesting when we were in Sweden when we bring in the you know, the physics and the psychological ideas from the ancient Aramaic, how there was almost no understanding, no brain cells whatsoever for that information from the Aramaic. It was a pretty interesting way to interact and introducing things in a different way. So it was pretty cool. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up? And by the way, our phone number is 646-200-4169. If you're listening in the chat room or on a computer or on one of the stations we don't have access to, if you dial that number, you'll be listening to us live on your phone. And if you have a question, you just push one and you'll be in queue. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Okay. Yes, we actually had a couple hands up. One of them just disappeared, but we do have one. But I'd also like to add to Robert, I know from my own personal experience, you know, I started doing a support group the week after the first time that I went through a series of workshops with Michael, and I started doing a support group the next week, and I did that for a year and really got involved in working with people and doing worksheets with them, doing my own worksheets. And if I hadn't done that, I don't think I could have taken it to the next step of going out and that being what I do for life. And so doing it where you are now is a very good first baby step, I think.
Yeah, and it also, you know, there's for somebody to be able to jump in and do this work, there's a lot that each individual is going to have to work through to do it. And I've seen people who said, well, you know, gee, I'm going to be like Michael Rice, and I'm going to go on the road, and I'm going to be here, there, and everywhere, and boy, this is going to be great, and they usually go broke. And the reason for that is because all of the issues they need to deal with start to show up. So I suggest you bloom where you're planted. If you're going to teach it, start teaching it right where you are. Start teaching it in the smaller circles and then expand your circles. You become more proficient at it because it's really expensive to try to start by going out on the road and having everything that's going to come up and having to work through it. So stay home, work with the tools, work in the close circles, family. Having a 10-year-old daughter, she will teach you, Robert, so much. It will be just amazing. I can remember my son was about 8, and he was having a conflict with his sister. Of course, I'd never had any conflicts with my sisters, my two older sisters, when I was a kid. But as a result of this conflict, I had a little frustration come up and kind of, you know, grabbed him by the scruff of the neck. Young man, we're going to go upstairs and have a talk. And so, you know, upstairs I march him. And as I start to talk to him about what's going on with his sister, he's being a little bit on the rough side with her. And his response to me is, oh, Dad, you mean like in the workshops when you say I'm bringing something up for you that you haven't dealt with yet? It's like, So there my 8-year-old was processing me. So it's pretty interesting and pretty amazing when you start doing the work in the closest circles. So let's hear from our caller, sweetie.
Okay. I believe that it's Rex, area code 517. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone. It is Rex.
Hey there, sir. Welcome.
I enjoy the conversation that's happening, as always, and I thought I would just give a little input on the process of stepping out and doing the work full-time. And
yeah, there you go. You've got experience in that, haven't you?
Well, yes, a lot of it. I've got to shut this phone off in the kitchen. Hold on a second. Stop.
Sounds like the ice cream man.
It does. It's our health phone. It rings, but it's generally only marketers, so I can usually just, you know, ignore it. But you would hear it if I did that. So the input I had, one, I thought, I'm not sure if you said it, but I think one of the most, the first, I agree with everything you said as far as the importance of doing the inner work. That cannot be stressed enough, because if that's being taken care of, and you're as an individual interested in teaching the work, is that it is making a very solid commitment to your own process, because exactly what you said, Michael, when you start really getting out there, when I started really working with private clients and my work that I did with the breathing process, and, you know, and working with, you know, spiritual support, then everything just started coming up, and I did it over a lot of years in a gradual process. And that is really good advice, because it's the most important piece, is that if we're doing the inner work, then your outer work is a lot easier and a lot smoother, because you are definitely going to have things come up when you start doing it. And the other thought that I had was the importance of doing a support group. When I started many, many years ago, I started by just showing DVDs. And I learned the difficult way, what Michael said was, don't try to be a Michael Rice, you know. I don't remember the caller's name. Do you remember his name, Tim?
Robert.
Robert. And Robert, I'm from personal experience, I've tried to be Michael Rice, and I'm a lousy Michael Rice. And so it's really important to develop your own identity, and how we do that is just by practice. So one of the things to do is to, I think it's incredibly supportive and really elicits doing inner work, is having a support group, and the importance of forming a support group. And I think, Jeannie, you may have mentioned that right when you came on. I'm not sure if you did or not, but I was a little distracted right before I raised my hand. But the power of a support group is that you're listening to the DVDs, you're getting exposure to people, you're starting to learn how to support people, and the importance of working with your own children are going to just reflect that stuff so fast to you. And so those are the ideas that I had, and I also concur the idea of taking your time. I've heard of people just walking away from their jobs because they were so excited about doing the work and found themselves in a position where they weren't able to support their families. And it may not happen that way. It may be just incredibly successful and financially rewarding. But quite often it just takes time to develop your own skills and your knack. Another thing that, Michael, you're so incredibly supportive of, and Robert, I don't know that you could get into working with a teacher that would be more supportive than Michael. I've had a lot of exposure, 35 years, of a lot of different teachers, and Michael, by far, way, way, way above the grade, is that total support. I mean, so much so that I don't even know if Michael wants me to say that, but he said, when I started doing this work full-time, it's been about 7.5 years now, and I left a six-figure income, and I am not at a six-figure income, and I'm chuckling because it's considerably less. But what I have is I have joy in my heart most of the time, because I'm doing what I love, and I love what I'm doing. So I did give up a fair amount of income, but it's my wife and myself, and so we're able to make it all work, and she was very supportive of the process as well. But when I did that, I called Michael, and I said, Michael, you know, I'm having a little bit of a challenge here. You know, do you have any suggestions? He goes, sure. You know, just you teach the work, video yourself, and then sell it. I said, yeah, but Michael, it's your workshop. And he says, I don't care. He said, I don't feel comfortable with that, Michael. And he said, well, do whatever you feel comfortable with, but it's about getting the message out. And Michael, you are so gracious with that. And Robert, I know of, again, like I said, many, many different teachers that just, Michael is incredibly supportive of us doing the work, and it's been really helpful and accessible. I've got a close friend that was having some challenges it's about a year now, and found Michael's name on the website and just gave him a call. And he didn't expect to have such a popular teacher and well-known and author to answer his own phone. And Michael just kind of tongue-in-cheek, he said, well, gosh, I wasn't expecting to get the real person. I thought I'd get a message and you might call me back. And he said, well, you did call me, didn't you? And he said, yes. And he said, well, when my phone rings, I answer it. Which, again, is Michael's degree of commitment to supporting teachers and supporting students and supporting the work. So it's a joy to be a part of the process and be on the team. And just a quick update, we had another delay with the prison today. It's kind of clicking a little bit slowly, and we're going to start next Tuesday for our first session. So it's kind of being delayed. And interestingly, I had asked for a couple extra weeks off, but I would have liked to have had them off and not gone to the prison both times. But nonetheless, it looks like we're going to start next Tuesday, and we're anticipating a good group and getting the Laws of Living started with the teaching. And Robert, I have not expose myself to anything more rewarding than the work that we're doing, and being a teacher and a student of the process is amazing. So that was the input that I had, Michael and Jean.
And Rex, you brought up another good point too. I'm actually working with a lady that is kind of in the situation where she wants to, I've walked her through doing the purpose exercise that we were talking to Robert about, and it's like, she sees her purpose out here and that's what she wants to go do. And she wants to go ahead and quit her job and everything now. And it's like, you've still got obligations, though. You've still got, work, and you've still got to have an income. You can't just walk away from that and say, okay, I'm going to go do what I want to do, and, the money's going to fall out of a tree. And it may, but you still have to do your part in it. And I think that's something that you just pointed out very well that you did. I mean, you've been doing the work for, you said, 30-some years, and you've only been on your own for 7. So it was a transitional thing. It wasn't just, okay, I'm going to quit my job and go, and my family can just hope that the money shows up or something. You kept your responsibility to your family. So that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that out.
Well, thank you, Jean.
And honey, I have not yet seen where the money falls out of trees. Yeah, that one hasn't occurred.
I know. That was one thing that we actually had someone that they were questioning that we would even do donations. It was like, I thought you were super wealthy and you would just do this and give it away. And it's like, well, we give as much of it away as we can, but we still can't do it for free.
Well
we actually do it for free. We just haven't figured out how to do it for nothing yet.
Right.
So, of course,
okay,
we all
thank
have
you for the correction. Yeah.
And I had one other piece there, Jeannie, that you triggered. I didn't bring up that point because some people might be deterred by it. But the first purpose exercise I did, we were in an apartment, or actually we had rented a house for a week-long vacation. Michael and his family came up and was with us, and I had said, I'm just really struggling with my job, and I didn't like working at the factory at that time, and I would love to do something different. Michael said, well, if I just ask you a few questions. And you took me through the purpose exercise. I was sitting on a couch. I remember the house. Josh was, he was 6 years old, I think. Yes, 6 or 7. And I remember, and that was the first time I got in touch with, what was I going to do? Yeah, I had a wave of
What was that? What was that?
Yeah, just surfaced. I think it for me, it's that I'm doing what I love, and that at that time I was so distraught. So probably just some more energy. Actually, it was just a feeling of my heart opening. That's really honest. It feels like my heart just opened another level. And,
cool.
Yeah, so it was an appreciation of what I was experiencing then and how I had seen my purpose that long ago. And I think that was about 28 years, to be accurate on the date, because we had been doing the work for a couple of years, about 3, not the work with you, but, spiritual work, Missy and I, for about 3 years before we met you, Michael. And so when you helped me see that it was to be a teacher, and at that time I had a vision of standing up in front of groups of very large numbers of people. And I remember crying, and that's probably part of it, is it just triggered such emotion in me to see that I was I saw my purpose then. And then it was about 20 years later, 22, 21 years later, that I actually started doing it full time. So it's important to just, I love the term that was in the Kung Fu series with David Carradine, and it was where he would sit in front of the master, and the master would look at him and say, "Be patient, little grasshopper." And so I've been real patient, and it hasn't always been a virtue, but I'm getting pretty good at it now. But that was my input.
Cool.
Thanks for the opportunity to
Very
share.
Good. All right. Well, that's cool that we have all this input on teaching, and for those who are wanting to, who recognize that the truth about life is we need to be doing something different than what we're doing. The insanity that is running world, that is running the business world, that is running the political world, that is running the religious world is just so rampant and so destructive to human life, so destructive to that gentle, subtle, sweet energy of the human being. And anything that doesn't support that is unethical. It just, you know, from the subtlest insult to the grossest abuse is so unethical when you recognize how gentle and powerful yet fragile that human life is in its initial phases, its initial experience of being in the world, that it can be wiped out of awareness by the hostility and fear-based mind. And the difficulty of being able to really look at the truth of that, at how that happened. Somebody want to put a mute button on there? The difficulty of looking at that and working through it, the energetic assaults that have happened to us. And again, a lot of times we think we can figure them out, or we're above them, or, well, I don't have to do that. Everybody's going to go back through who is ever going to truly express as a human being and deal with every assault that was ever made on them, whether it's physical, mental, verbal, emotional. And oftentimes the assaults come first and foremost in the verbal realm. As Bill talked about yesterday, and looking through the new eyes of how regulatory speech works and what it has to do with this human mind and how it functions. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to look there. It's difficult, especially if it's people that we want to honor and cherish who assaulted us. That ability to embrace those assaults and literally allow the energetic patterns of them to come up out of physiology and process through them is a huge piece of work. And so Jeannie tells me that we have a caller, so let's see what our caller has to say.
Oh, we do. We're down to about 6 minutes, but area code 336, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Joan from Greensboro.
Well, hey there, young lady. We haven't heard your voice in a while. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. This is an update on something that happened about 5.5 months ago. My
right.
son was accused of beating his girlfriend. And today,
yes.
It was a long, drawn-out process over these 5 months, back and forth, he said, she said. Lots of court
right.
dates were missed or dragged out. Today was the final court date, and they ended up hugging each other and wishing each other well.
Awesome.
And it's just, well, it's just, I guess it shows the power of love in the world. And today
yes.
when we're talking about forgiveness, you know, I was able to tell them about the new way to think about forgiveness. And was just so, anyway, but I just wanted everyone that was on any of those calls to know how it turned out. And I think they're both free now to go on and live their best lives, you know. It's
Well, I acknowledge you as a mom, able to stand there and hold the space. I recall the turmoil that you were in, and the work you had to do personally was probably pretty monumental to do that. So congratulations
on
helping to produce that result.
Thank you. And then just changing the subject here, getting more to me, to my stuff, I'm just amazed at how easy it is for me to go back to my old way to think about forgiveness. Like, they did something wrong,
yes.
I'm the good guy, and they're the bad guy. And I just totally revert to it. And I know that's not true. I do know that's not true, but it still is like my default. That just, it's like a big rut. And even though...
Well, actually, in the Aramaic, there's a parable about that whole process. And if you remember, there's a story there about David and Goliath. And, you know, the spiritual being, this is a still small energy. It's quiet. It's subtle. And then there's the part of us, carbon-based memory, the non-being mind, the hostility and fear-based mind, that holds beliefs from 1,000 generations of insanity. And we can get a hold of an idea in our soul or in our being and comprehend it, but that comprehension is usually very subtle and not easily remembered. When Goliath, or carbon-based memory, starts to shout and scream with its emotional turmoil and its pain. And we've had many generations of false teachings that reinforce and keep us in our weakness. And that weakness comes from the inability to forgive, because one who's carrying a burden of hostility or fear is weakened by their own hostility and fear. And the world has pretty much taken away the tool with which hostility and fear is faced and removed. It's called forgiveness. And they implanted a false idea. And Goliath has that false idea that, and of course in the parable, Goliath is this, 9-foot-tall giant with swords and spears and shields and is invincible. And it seems like the hostility and fear-based mind is invincible. And when the stress is up and the chips are down, it is going to have its way. And as you use the tools, gradually and over time, you weaken Goliath. Each worksheet, each forgiveness exercise engaged in weakens the output of that mind and strengthens the ability of David to use the 5 smooth stones. And the 5 smooth stones are symbolic of the spiritual faculties with which Goliath is taken apart. So it's just a process. And, it's been so many years I've been teaching this Aramaic concept of forgiveness, the truth about forgiveness, in a world that wants to go in the other direction, and it's been ridiculed and all kinds of criticism for it. But in the last analysis, if you engage in the process of forgiveness, Goliath quits, and that's the whole idea of the work. So it's just a process. So I acknowledge your courage for being willing to do it and to be able to see that in yourself, because that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it was just, I listen to the radio shows every day, and I'm trying to build up my brain cells. So
awesome.
It's just incredible, really.
It is. It's quite a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, we're down to about a minute or so we're going to have to close out the show. You know, you might want to check with Jeannie. She's doing a four-day Women Healing Women retreat in November in Florida. It might be a good time to get away from North Carolina. In any event, appreciate each of you being with us. Dr. Tim, we certainly appreciate you and love having you on our team. Michelle, I don't know if you made it in, but if you didn't, we'll hopefully hear from you tomorrow. Hope everybody has the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.